This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KABC.com. I am Alan Gervie, and I'm the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. And I'm here with my beautiful and talented and intelligent co-host.
Thanks.
Carrie Kasem.
Ah, thanks, Alan.
Nice to have you here.
Nice to be here.
Looking at me very strangely because you don't know what I'm going to say.
No.
I have a surprise for you.
What is that?
Do you like surprises?
Sometimes. Sometimes it just bothers me because I'm trying to figure it out.
Well, you always have to be in control. So I think when you're not in control, you feel just a little bit nervous or a little bit uneasy.
If somebody surprises me without telling me there's a surprise, I like it. Then when somebody says, oh, I'm going to surprise you, and then they make you wait. Yeah, no, don't do that.
I won't.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you something that's going to surprise you. But first, I've got to ask you, I'm going to do a little deposition on you.
Okay. I'm used to those.
Yeah, you're used to that. You've been in litigation too much. Carrie, what do you do on Sunday afternoons?
What do I do? Sometimes I work.
Oh, you do?
Okay. Yeah, sometimes I do.
Do you have a steady gig right now on Sunday afternoons?
No, ever since my mortgage show went off the air, I no longer steady gig.
Really?
Yeah.
And how would you like it if I told you right here on live radio on the air that Gervie's Law is moving from Saturday afternoon to Sunday at 5 p.m. right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC?
I'd say fantastic.
I think
it's great. 5 years being at the same spot. You know what? I think it's great. I think it's like when those big shows change, you know, from, new time, new channel, or what, not new channel, but new time. New place,
we
whatever.
We can go to a new channel.
Yeah, we can.
No, new time and new day.
Exactly.
Sunday at 5, we're going to be rocking it. And I love it because it's giving me all the free time I need on Saturday. Hudson has baseball games. Harper's got dance classes. Hockey. We have
stuff. Hockey
games.
Yeah.
Everything. I'm booked solid on Saturday, so I'm looking forward to it. What is the date that we're going to make this change?
February 10th.
Wait a second.
Yes.
I thought you didn't know about it. I thought I was surprising you.
You know what? our producer has told me that we are changing.
Yes, there's
times dates. There
Genevieve is holding up a sign on February 10th. Let everyone know we're going to promote this Sunday at 5 p.m. Gervie's Law will be, it'll be the first show on Sunday. I'm excited.
Me too.
I don't know who the guests are going to be yet.
We're going to have somebody good. We always do.
We do. We've had some great, great guests. And today is no exception. Because I know that every time I look at you, you are on your phone and you tell me you're texting, you're doing social media, but I know what you're doing. You're playing Fortnite.
That's right. That's all I do.
That's all
you do. Day long.
All
I want to get on one of those teams. I want to win money. I want to be sponsored. Fortnite. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, we just had a Christmas break and, you know, half of the kids didn't do anything but stayed home playing Fortnite. And I'm sure a lot of them were watching some of these amazing dances. I love looking at the dances on Fortnite.
I actually have my friend, her son, just won $250,000 at Fortnite. Yeah. He's going to be on one of the biggest teams. His name's Vinny and he's unbelievable.
Wow.
I cannot believe the money that these kids make. And he'll be a millionaire in the next year or two. With all the sponsors he's
so they'll
get.
Call him the millionaire kid.
All these kids are. They're making millions and millions and millions of dollars, these kids that are on those teams that play Fortnite.
Well, I wouldn't
Fortnite.
Go that far.
No. Ask any of the people we have on. Well, if they know video game world. Unbelievable.
So you know that they have the emotes and with them they have dances and everything. Do you know, have you been watching the news to see what kind of lawsuits are coming up against Epic, who are the creators and the producers and the owners of Fortnite, on these dances because they just seem to be stealing them all over the place.
I'm watching this. I'm seeing this.
The top 10 stolen dances on Fortnite. You know, interesting story because we're going to talk in a minute to One of the superstar lawyers who is really a leading lawyer in this area, David Hecht of Pierce, Bainbridge, Beck, Price, and Hecht. And we're going to talk about some of his clients. We're going to have his clients on to talk about their cases. One of the cases is with Alfonso Ribeiro, but he couldn't make it today. But I'll tell you, I do remember a case involving the show that he was on way back when. I worked at NBC many years ago, and one of my first cases was on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air when the show was premiering, and almost a few days before the premiere, there was an injunction filed because there was a movie called, not Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but The Prince of Bel-Air, mm-hmm. I believe it was, with Mark Harmon, who was like, remember Mark Harmon?
Oh,
Harmon?
Of course. You said such a crush on him.
Yeah, what a stud.
Yes.
Yeah, I think he was a quarterback,
he's still
football quarterback.
Doing well. He does what? Oh, he's on one of the longest running TV shows in history.
You should hook up with him.
What? Why? Why? Doesn't he have a wife and kids?
I don't know.
And I think I have a
boyfriend.
But
you do. But you just said your eyes lit up so much. But, you know, I'll tell you, and that show almost never got off the ground because of the lawsuit, but they did settle it. And I can't divulge information, even though it was some like 25 years ago. Anyway, so Alfonso Ribeiro had a dance. Do you remember
the Carlton?
Dance? Yeah.
I used to watch that show. I love that show.
I know, me too.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden in Fortnite, it comes up. And then, you know, there's these other ones. 2 Milli, who's a rapper, mm-hmm. his dance from his video comes up.
Yeah.
In it, and
the orange kid,
orange shirt kid,
yep.
and that's
right,
not to be confused
one.
With Backpack Boy,
right.
You know, from Katy Perry's appearance on SNL.
I remember
can
that.
I do the floss right here for you?
Oh, can you floss? Really?
Yeah, I can't. I'm flossing.
Oh
now.
My gosh,
aren't
it's
I good?
Not so good.
We
I'll tape that and put that up.
My 4-year-old daughter Harper has an amazing floss, but I'm not going to let anyone see it because Fortnite will probably steal it,
yeah.
and we'll get nothing from
hey,
it.
Hey, but you should let you know, let them copy it. Make some money.
But until David Hecht figures out how to get these people compensated for stealing the dances, I'm not going to let Harper show her dance. I want to welcome David Hecht to the show. As I said, he's a partner at Pierce Bainbridge, and he's a founding partner for the New York and New Jersey offices. He represents some of the most powerful and influential people, and of course, companies in trademark, patent, copyright, trade secret, infringement, right of publicity cases. And he's right in the middle of this very, very cool litigation on dances and dance moves. David, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. I'm great. And are you into these dances, or is this just something that you do as an attorney? It's just what you do for your profession.
So I am not a professional dancer. That's
no.
One of the many reasons I went into law is because it is not exactly physical.
I hope not. So,
you're not going to have to get up there and demonstrate, right?
No, I, that's why we have experts.
You know, on these cases, and we will have, you have 2 Milli, rapper 2 Milli is your client, and Orange Shirt Kid's mother, Rachel McCumbers, because Orange Shirt Kid, of course, is under 18, and Lenwood Skip Hamilton, another one of your clients. We're going to have them on the show, and I'm really excited to talk to them, to hear it from their perspective. But let's talk from a legal perspective first. When we talk about the potential of copyright, and there's a lot of issues because you filed these cases, there's infringement of copyright, violation of right of publicity, unfair competition, a lot of these issues that come up in these cases. But let's first talk about copyright. A lot of people say that this stuff is out in the public and it's not enough to copyright. What is the argument that some of these dance moves can be copyrighted and they're stealing the copyright when a game like Fortnite takes them and makes it their own?
There's several arguments, and as you've said, you know, we have copyright, we have right of publicity, as well as trademark, and each of the performers has slightly different arguments because they're all different dances, right? So, you know, focusing on copyright, I think it's helpful to think of dance as if it's, because it is, another form of expression.
Right.
Right. Just like if you draw a picture or you write a book or anything that's creative. And what's interesting about dance is that there's not a lot of legal precedent. There's hardly anything. There's just a couple of cases out there that are not really related to this. Nobody had ever thought, you know, in the Copyright Act from the 70s, that you would have a company that could sell a dance for, you know, around $10 a pop. It was just never contemplated, right? So what they did contemplate was protection for choreography and pantomime. There was actually a section added in the 70s. And what people have been questioning is kind of what the limitations of that are. And that is in some ways unsettled law. And these are cases of the first impression. But it is not disputed that the Copyright Office will register a choreography. And so for that reason, you know, to the extent that we're asserting choreography in any of these various copyrights and any of these lawsuits, and we are for some and not necessarily for others. And again, it's very plaintiff dependent, depending on the facts. But, you know, there is protection there. There's also, if you look at what was taken, right, and what's really compelling is if you look at the side-by-sides, we didn't even put together. This fans have actually put together these side-by-sides on YouTube showing the original content and then on one side of the screen, and then the Fortnite emote on the other side of the screen, right?
It's exactly the same. It's exactly the same. But let me ask you this real quick. Fortnite's a $1 billion gaming franchise. It's billions, worth billions. Why wouldn't they get advice from attorneys? Or did they have bad attorneys? Did they have no advice? Did they just decide to do it? What was going on with that franchise?
Well, because wait a second, Karen.
If they would have just said, hey, to the kid, the orange shirt kid or whatever, hey, look, we'll give you $10,000. Let us use it. They probably would have said, okay.
It's not that simple. The way, and I'm going to let David answer this, but the way that you propose that, obviously they have lawyers.
Sure, of course.
And there
do.
Is law that they believe is on their side. For instance, if it's just a snippet, a sentence of a book, so to speak, versus the whole book that is being taken, if there are differences, if they feel that it's in the public domain, that it's not something that is copyrightable, there's a lot of arguments that they could have. But I'm going to let David take over and talk about, in these particular cases, what Epic Games is really saying in defense of their inaction, so to speak.
But how easy would it have been to just go to these people and throw them a few $1,000 so you didn't have to deal with this? It just seems
right. David, take over.
You are absolutely right. And at the very minimum, permission should have been requested.
Yes.
And I think this is why it's actually great that we had Linwood Hamilton on the line as well, because all of this, Epic actually has a history of misappropriating and taking things that do not belong to it. Epic, because it has been extremely successful, does think that they can just get away with things, and especially when it comes to individual artists, because guess what? When it came to NFL or Marvel, they've done big deals with billion-dollar companies. But when it comes to the individuals, it's okay. You know, let's see what they can do. They did not expect that we would have the ability to go after them with, you know, a set of plaintiffs that could actually lawyer up and go after them. People who were pioneers like Two Milly, who said, "I'm not going to take this. Someone jacked my dance. Like, this is not fair. This is fundamentally unfair." So, you know, he was the first, and you know, he really trailblazed here. And we recognized, I mean, it wasn't rocket science when, as you said, when you look at the clips and they're exactly the same.
Yeah.
There's something wrong. And as you're saying, it could have been settled very early on. And another big problem of this, it's not just about the money. It's about, you know, when I say cultural misappropriation, particularly African-Americans that we've seen, you know, are really the target of this, that, you know, lots of black artists have been ripped off here. But when you're talking about what they've done, look at the Milly Rock, right? What they did is they rebranded it and they call it the Swipe. So now you have these kids who do play this all day, and maybe they are not fans, and they now think that it's
called the Swipe.
And that's true. But obviously, if they would have called it Milly Rock instead of Swipe It, they would be in big trouble. But they tried to, you know, finesse it a little bit. Not to say that they're not still in trouble, but they certainly put some thought into what they were doing. It's not like they just turned their head and said, "Who cares?" They're not dummies over there.
They may not be dummies, but they do think they could get away with murder.
Yeah. Listen.
No.
I didn't say anything about arrogance. I just said dummies. They're not dummies. A lot of people who aren't dummies are arrogant, and arrogance sometimes ends up paying and can create some really bad law. You know, if you prevail, your clients prevail, they're going to create some really bad law for a lot of other gaming companies and other companies who just misappropriate and take things because they think they can. We have to take a quick break, David, but we're going to be right back. We're going to bring on the show rapper Two Milly, Linwood, Skip Hamilton, and the Orange Shirt Kid's mother, Rachel McCumbers. After the break, you're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-619-0789. That's 800-619-0789. 800-619-0789. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth, you talk faster when your phone has only 1% battery left.
Hey, hon, what's up?
Hey, sweetie, can you pick up Kitty Litter Fabric Softener? Oh, the lemony fresh kind. And French vanilla non-dairy creamer on your way home from work.
What?
Truth, it's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
Why are you talking like that?
Gotta go. I'm taking Kevin to Taekwondo and I only have a...
Honey? Hello?
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
My parents do a lot to keep me safe. And with our new smoke and carbon monoxide alarms, they've got some extra help. Mom says the alarms are made by Kidde, and they're really smart. They can talk to each other, so if there's a fire anywhere in our house, they beep in every room and we can get out faster. They're a great way to make sure our house is safe. But when it comes to checking under the bed for monsters, I'll leave that one to Dad.
Introducing intelligent wire-free smoke and carbon monoxide alarms from Kidde. Get yours today at your local home improvement store.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Any block. I really rock on any block. I really rock on any block.
Yeah.
I really rock on any block.
Yeah, I am.
I really rock on any block.
Can I just listen to this? I have to actually talk?
We're dancing.
I'm doing the Millie
We're
Rock.
We're both dancing.
I'm doing Millie Rock. I can do it.
Not really.
Yeah, I can.
You're trying.
I've been watching this video for a long time. If you watch, I mean...
I've seen it.
You can do it.
I can kind of do it.
Well, I got...
It's not real hard, but he does it better.
I got it in me, though.
No, you don't.
You know, but I learned it from Millie. That's who I learned it, not from Fortnite. I'm not into these robotic guys doing it. I'm doing it like the real deal from Millie Rock.
Yeah,
that's
there
right,
he
the
is.
Real deal.
We got the real deal.
We got the real deal here. To Millie, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hey, what's up, man?
We're just having fun here. We're talking to your attorney, David Hecht. He knows what he's talking about here. But we got to ask you, because you're the main guy here, what's up with them stealing your moves?
Man, I'm not even sure, man. I don't know what's up with it, but I know there's something got to be done about it.
I heard you learned it from kids or from your kids. Is that right?
Well, I first seen that it was in a game, like through the internet. And then when I went home that same night, my daughter was telling me, like, hey, all the kids in the school was telling me that your dance is in the game.
Now, if they would have come to you and made a deal with you, would you have given it to them? I mean, if they, you know, came up with a reasonable amount of money?
Yes, definitely.
So it doesn't make any sense, this game that makes billions.
It would have been fair.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. It was completely wrong what they did.
Well, we don't know that, Carrie.
My opinion, Alan, is that it was completely wrong. You don't steal somebody's out of somebody's video. Don't ask them permission, first of all. Second of all, don't pay them. My opinion is I think the guy should win some money. I'm with you too, Millie. I don't know where Alan is.
Well, I think that, you know, there is a case and you know, David's talked about they have to present their legal arguments. And there are arguments that, you know, there are a lot of people out there. You look great doing the Millie Rock to Millie, but how do you identify it just as yours?
What do you mean?
Like, I've watched the dance.
What's my name? What's my name?
To Millie.
No, my name is To Millie.
To Millie.
What's
yeah.
the name of the dance?
Millie Rock. Millie Rock.
Until they renamed it. Which
until they swipe it. Yeah.
No. There is no renaming it. It's the Millie Rock.
Well, definitely you do it a lot better than what their robotic characters do. But, you know, the point that I guess I'm making is that there's so many styles of dancing out there. what is making yours unique? And I'll tell you it is because I've seen it being done and people recognize it as a Millie Rock.
Well, yeah, it's basically the most famous part of out of the dance. You feel what I'm saying? Because it's like, it's a whole lot put together, but the most famous part is the waving of the arms. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And if you look anywhere in history of dance or anything, nobody was using those movements until I created that dance. So,
and now it's his signature.
No argument.
Yeah.
And Chance the Rapper said that Fortnite should put the actual rap songs behind the dances that make so much money as emotes. Imagine the money people are spending on these emotes being shared with the artists that made them.
Now, here's the problem with that. This is the problem. Like, and when you do a movie, when you do a hosting gig, there's always some kind of clause that says, if you do something wrong in the production company's eyes, let's say I went off and I stole something, got put in jail for money laundering, and I was a host of a TV show. I've now destroyed that TV show. So let's say somebody's using a song from anybody and they go off and do something that's illegal or criminal. I mean, it would be so much money to fix that. So I can see why they don't do that. But to take a dance, they shouldn't have renamed it. They shouldn't have done anything. Should have asked permission. They should have paid you. And then boom, you're done with it. They don't have to rename anything.
They call me in because, you know, it's like on top of just stealing it from certain videos, I think you have to have like an actual person come in and get attached to all this equipment.
Yes.
And do the actual promotions.
Right.
I'm saying you don't even have the official rock from the creator. So,
yeah.
I'm saying it's just a whole lot of that.
You know, David, is that something that you have argued with their lawyer? That it's only 2 Milli who should have been the one doing the actual moves versus however they have replicated. And obviously we know anything can be replicated.
So, yeah, I think that kind of ties back to these concepts of like right of publicity or the signature that was taken. And they could have licensed or requested to license and come up with a particular use for it or something. And there could have been a discussion. But you guys are right that there was no discussion. And it's just a fundamental lack of respect.
Yeah.
You know, and again, they can negotiate with the billion-dollar companies, but when it comes to African-American artists and kids, they just seem to walk all over people, and it's just wrong.
2 Milli, did you ever consider, before all this happened, of maybe copywriting your moves or trademark or going to a lawyer and saying, hey, I'm going to do the Milli Rock, and I want to make sure no one steals it. How can I protect myself?
Yes, definitely. I did all that.
You did all that,
yeah,
but
actually,
not...
And you know that the copyright registration process is a formality. As soon as something is fixed in a tangible medium, which is what the law says, which is basically you videotape it, you put it on, or video it because there's no taping anymore, but you put it on YouTube, that's a fixed tangible medium. And then you could formally register it. But the rights are already embedded the moment that the work is created.
But when you put it into the public domain, is there an argument, David, that it's as free? I remember in law school they said it's as free as the air. An idea is as free as the air. And if this is just kind of freelancing ideas, not necessarily as we're hearing from 2 Milli, which is a choreography of what his dance is versus just going on doing a video and it's just like, hey, I'm just doing some free floating movement.
Yeah, what you're talking about is the idea expression dichotomy, which is really copyright is there to protect the expression. And what the dance is in all of these cases is a person's expression. The same way if you put pen to paper or, you know, brush stroke to canvas, it's
right.
The same thing. So I know you're referring to, but this is not just an idea. This is the expression of the idea, and that's why it's protectable. And what's very important to consider, because you said bad law before, but we're talking specifically about situations where a dance is monetized, where something is monetized. If you had the song, you know, you were referring before to Chance the Rapper's tweet about including the song in the game. In order to do that, you license it. If you want to have, even in terms of reality TV, you ever see when they blur out a painting in the background,
sure.
They do it because they don't want to license it. They're just blurring it out because they can't video the scene otherwise because it's a static scene, right? So there's rights attached to things. And just because it happens to be, for example, you put a painting out there and if it's sitting on the street, that doesn't mean that it's in the public domain. And here, Millie's not telling anybody, don't imitate my dance, don't do it on the dance floor. That's not what this is about. This is about, don't slap a $10 price tag on the dance, make billions from a game, and then don't give the artist any kind of credit or any kind of money. That's wrong.
Completely. And I have to ask you a question, Tumili. Where did you get the name? I have to know.
The name Tumili?
Yep.
I got it growing up in the neighborhood. Just being around, like, so many kids growing up. Well, my close friends, it was like probably 15 of us, like, on a daily basis. And all of them, like, would get into trouble and go to jail or something, right? So I was the only one who never went to jail, never got it. Like, I did, like, 28 days on the island. But they was doing, like, years, like, 3 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. And they was like, yo, how are you the only one out of all of us that moved Milly and stay away from police that whole time? And then, like, yo, and then it was, like, 20 years when I met this. So now 26 years, they like, yeah, nah, you too Milly. If you stayed out from police, you too Milly.
That's great.
That's like awesome.
Militant. So it's like just moving militant.
That's awesome. Really cool. So what do you think, Tumili, moving forward as this case progresses, what do you see as what you can help others? Because obviously there's a real point here. There's a principle, and a lot of others like yourself and some of the other rappers who may get their material stolen, their dances stolen. How can you help others from this case?
Just to put that idea in their mind to, well, you see now that you see a bunch of the dances were stolen. You know, people will kind of look at this situation and jump to protect their likeness, their anything, music, whatever, in the beginning, so that this type of situation doesn't happen. But I was just trying to shed light on everything. The whole fact that me being a big part of culture and it's being stolen by someone I don't even know and sold, like, people need to understand, like, this wasn't an agreement. We didn't agree to have this put in the game or none of that. So they need to know that it's stolen and that it can happen to them too. So just to protect everything up front.
Yeah, and that's something that's really important for a lot of people. Do you see it, as David alluded to, as a racial issue here where, you know, Epic Games kind of looking down and on African-Americans or the neighborhood and not giving it the respect that people like you and others, the respect that they deserve because they believe they can?
Well, in some form, yeah, you can say that. They didn't reach out to anyone of, you know, the black ethnicity. So I would feel like they just feel like, oh, we could step over them. They're peasants to us. We're a billion-dollar company. They're just some rappers. You know what I'm saying? They don't even really probably care about their stuff anyway. So I feel like they just like, oh, they'll be happy just knowing that they dance is anything. So let's take it.
Yeah. David, do you think it's going to be an issue moving forward in this lawsuit? Or will it completely just be a focus on the copyright law and the unfair competition and the right of publicity? Or do you think we'll see a little bit of the racial undertones here?
I think there's certainly undertones, you know, and again, you we'll talk to Skip Hamilton later about, you know, the Gears of War video game that his likeness was stolen for. But, you know, I think that it's one of the themes. I mean, obviously, the way that the court systems work is, you know, you have to look at the law, right? And this is not a discrimination type thing necessarily. But there are undertones, as you've put it, you know, so eloquently. There is this idea, and it's very much about, you know, well, the performers and, you know, won't do anything. And certainly they underestimated Milly. I mean, without a doubt, they thought that, you know, 2 Milly, no way that someone like 2 Milly, a rapper from Brooklyn, is going to lawyer up and come again, you know, go against this. They did not anticipate this. I think they thought they would fly under the radar and that nothing would happen. But, you know, when you make billions of dollars off of a game, that begins to raise eyebrows. And when you have the type of user base that they have, you know, they are altering culture. And yeah. You know, I know Milly said can't rename the dance, but they tried to, and they're trying to. And you do have, like,
kids imitating these things, and some of them don't know. And that's a huge problem. That's what we call the cultural misappropriation, because they didn't ask, they don't respect it. And this is very much like, his dance comes from rap, comes from Brooklyn. And that is very different than a video game where no one knows where, you know, what, where things are coming from.
That's right.
What's really interesting about Fortnite is it's become a social phenomenon. And I've played it. I've seen, you know, coverage comparing it to Facebook. And that's something initially I didn't realize. But, you know, it really is a way of interacting with people socially. And that's why you customize the characters, because it becomes part of your virtual identity.
Yeah, who
so
you are.
They are not. Exactly. So they have this now virtual world that doesn't recognize hip hop or rap or anything like that. It's just its own thing. And that's why it is very important to preserve the elements of culture where these things came from.
Yeah. And, you know, you when you talk about that, you really raise the issue of the damages here. And people can see the damages are far more excessive than simply someone doing a dance that 2 Million came up with. Last question, 2 Million, we're going to let you go. Have you seen your dance in other arenas, like on the football field after a touchdown and on some of the other singers and performers?
Yeah, I have. A bunch of times, like on current football games, like my dance is a celebration. Like, I don't limit anyone to doing a dance, whatever it is, a football player, basketball player, a little kid at a party. You know what I'm saying? I post the videos on my page. You feel what I'm saying? It's just spreading my brand at the same time. But when someone, you know, like sells, you can't sell me, sell mine or something I'm dealing with. Know what I'm saying? That's a big difference. It separates the whole lane. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I
got videos on Instagram. Now, it really rocks. And this is another thing. The dance was the dance before it even had a name. I have videos on YouTube from 2011. The song, I think I made the song 2014. The name came about 2014 at the same time. So the dance was alive for 3 years before it even was anything. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I made the name Millie Rock because my name is 2 Million, and I'm rocking side to side for the most famous part of the dance. You feel what I'm saying? And if nobody's seen it and they just take it and name it, swipe it, then what you think people going to think it is?
Swipe it. Yeah, so check out Millie Rock. If you look at YouTube, you can find it and you can see it if you want to compare it. I'm just letting everyone know that you're going to see the original when you see 2 Millie. 2 Millie, I want to thank you for being on Gervie's Law today. We're going to talk in a minute to Orange Shirt Kid's mother, Rachel McCumbers, but we're going to let you go, 2 Millie, and we're going to wish you all the luck on this, and hopefully it works out well for you.
All right, man. I appreciate it.
All right, take
care.
Thank you. All right, we're going to take a quick break. You listen to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. On any block, 2 Million. And my polo team, my polo socks. Let's get it. On top of cars.
Talk Radio 790, KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. President Trump has made an offer to Democrats to end the government shutdown. It includes money for humanitarian aid, for the building of a border wall, plus protections for Dreamers.
3 years of legislative relief for 700,000 DACA recipients brought here unlawfully by their parents at a young age many years ago. This extension will give them access to work permits, social security numbers, and protection from deportation.
He repeated a demand for nearly $6 billion to help construct strong steel barriers at the border. Trump also asked for nearly $2 billion for humanitarian assistance and increased border security. But House Speaker Nancy Pelosi rejected the deal, saying there will be no negotiations as long as the government remains partially shut down. KABC SoCal weather, sunny this afternoon with highs in the lower to mid-70s. More news coming up in 30 minutes, continuing coverage at KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790 KABC News.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
If you plan on selling a home, listen to this important message from Rex. There's no longer any reason to pay 6% to sell your home. Introducing Rex. Rex sells homes for the lowest fee in the industry. 2% total, saving consumers thousands of dollars per transaction. With Rex, you get a full-service team backed by technology. They don't market homes the way traditional agents do. Rex uses a data-driven process to attract hundreds of qualified buyers directly to your home the moment it goes on the market. And Rex charges only 2% total, not the 6% commission your local broker expects. Call now at 213-9886-REX. 213-9886-REX. Rex can also help you buy a home. Your licensed Rex agent will arrange showings, negotiate offers, guide you through escrow, and even get you pre-qualified for a mortgage at the lowest available rate. To get started, call now at 213-9886-REX. 213-9886-REX. That's 213-988-6739. CALDRE license 0197601.
We've got 2020 vision on 2020 AM 790 KABC.
Need a new perspective on law and life? Call Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
All right, we're doing a lot of dancing in this show today.
Or swiveling in our chairs.
Yeah, you know, a few weeks ago, we have Alan Dershowitz on, Tom Mesereau, and now we
no
have...
No dancing there.
Orange Shit Kid's mother and Two Millie. That's good. This is a diverse show. We're not just talking about hardcore law here, but we do have David Hecht, and he is the man when you talk about some of these cases against video game companies for infringement and misappropriation, infringement of copyright, and violation of right of publicity. You know, David, we were talking to Two Millie, and we were talking about his dance. When you talk about choreography, a lot of times we think of a different version of dance than what Two Millie was talking about. Maybe ballroom dance or folk dances, line dances. None of that seems to be copyrightable, according to the Second Circuit, at least for a U.S. Copyright Office, when they talk about it. Why would you say that some of these dances, whether it's Orange Shirt Kids dance or Two Millie, why would they be copyrightable if some of these other dances, ballroom dances and square dances, aren't?
This is not a ballroom dance, you know, the Millie Rock, for example. And when you're talking about the Millie Rock, it's also, you know, the copyright is not what Epic necessarily took, right? So they're taking a subsection of the overall work. So just to make that clear. But when you're talking about, for example, social dances, Millie Rock is not a partner dance. It's not a courtship ritual in any way. It's not like the Macarena or any of those that may qualify as social dance. And to be clear, there's actually very little guidance on social dance in the case law.
Yeah. And
when you're talking about like types of movements, and you said, you know, this is different from what you would traditionally think might be choreography. Well, you know, even in the Nutcracker, which was deemed to be choreography in the Horgan case, it's not necessarily complicated movement in particular. So there is no real requirement that, you know, all these things are very esoteric, and there are not strict requirements at this time. And that's why these cases are cases of the first impression, because a lot of this has never been litigated before.
Yeah.
And you know, our point is just that to the extent that this is an expression of art, which it is, and that's what the definition of dance is, then it needs to be protected, and the courts need to figure out what the meets and bounds are. And, you know, here we think that, you know, in all of the works that we're asserting, there is some element. And the other thing is, it's not just choreography. There's also infringement of the original videos as well.
Yeah.
If you're talking about, you know, tracing and imitation and things that are just not permitted.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's interesting you bring up that point because we want to talk about a different case. Your client, Rachel McCumbers, who is the mother of CCM, we're going to call him CCM, as the lawsuit did that was filed by your firm, Pierce Bainbridge. And, you know, with the orange shirt kid, Rachel, first of all, welcome to Gervie's Law, Rachel. We're glad to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Now, tell us the circumstances of your son's video, because my understanding is that he submitted it specifically after a call for submission of dances. Is that right?
Correct. Yes. That was part of it was a hashtag. So basically, he uploaded a short video to a hashtag. Correct.
Was it for Fortnite or Epic Games?
Yeah, it was part of this being called a boogie down challenge. And, you know, as his parents, you know, we knew at that time that he'd be excluded from it because of being 10 years old, you know. And so we thought it was a fun thing that he wanted to do. Again, you know, all the while knowing that he wasn't really an eligible participant. So,
you had not approved, right?
It wasn't so much that we didn't approve. It was just that, you know, he wanted to. And so he uploaded that short clip and it was fun. We had no idea, you know, what the future would hold with that.
But, was there any disclaimer stating, hey, if you send us this, we own it?
Well, there was a disclaimer that you had to be an adult to participate.
Okay.
And so, you know, at that point, we knew that it wasn't going to be usable, you know.
Right, right.
So if he would have been, if your son would have been an adult, would have been of age of majority, would you still believe that you would have this case?
No, I mean, we didn't, you know, as his parents, we didn't approve of his participation in it. Again, you know, I actually found out a little bit after the fact, but the rules, we did read the rules, and we read line number one, and line number one was you had to be an adult, and that's kind of where we were.
Yeah,
you kind of dismissed it.
Yeah, no, and I understand that. I guess that's not
did. Absolutely.
That's not what you know what I was getting at. And David, maybe you can answer this: okay. If he would have been an adult, this is a hypothetical. Would you have the same claim, or do you think that Epic Games did what they needed to create the waiver and to allow them to use for their own profit the dances that were submitted under this hashtag contest?
I actually think that's an open question, because if you use a hashtag, right, and you happen to use a hashtag, there's no, you know, I don't think it's very clear, right? Let's say I hashtag something and it just happened to be the same hashtag that Epic is interpreting as you waiving all your rights. That doesn't really make sense. There has to be a level of intent. This is a very different types of terms and service agreement. So I think there is an open question. I'm not aware of any case law that suggests that a hashtag could essentially forego legal rights.
Right. And Rachel, when you think about the dance and it's become, what, a phenomenon, what do you believe that Epic did, obviously misappropriation or taking it or stealing it, do you believe that they had an obligation to you, his parents, to say, here, we're sending this back, it's not eligible, and we're not going to do anything with it?
So I think that's really what my main issue is that there was never permission given. You know, the dance just was viral. You know, it was catchy. It was awesome. It was creative. And everybody knows that. The random is what Cole named it, a CCM named it. And the catchphrase that went along with it, you know, and that was part of his creative expression. And I don't think we'd be sitting here having this conversation if they had asked for permission.
Yeah.
If there had been any communication to his parents, you know, as parents, we feel it's our job to speak for him in areas where he can't speak for himself because he's 10. He's
right. And how does he feel about this, all his notoriety and fame?
Well, I think, you know, he got caught up in it being really fun. And, you know, you see when you see your video is very popular, that's fun for a kid, you know, and so that part of it was fun. Unfortunately, it did end up having a pretty negative effect overall, you know, when that ability for us to make decisions for him was taken away. He did suffer a lot of criticism and judgment, and there was a lot of bullying and backlash that he experienced. And we spent a lot of time trying to clean that up and protecting him. And it's not been all a positive outcome.
I mean, all they needed to do was ask permission. All they needed was manners. That's just simple.
That is exactly
common sense. You know?
Yes.
It's just manners.
Absolutely.
And none of it would have avoided everything. And if you would have said no, move on to the other thousands of dances that they got. It doesn't make any sense.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more.
So, when you're dealing with children, too.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
So we only have about 30 seconds. David, tell us what you see in the future for Rachel's lawsuit on behalf of her son.
You know, I think he wants, and Rachel wants, recognition and some sort of compensation because they were put through a lot. This was something that, yes, went viral through Orange Shirt Kid and his YouTube channel, but it also took a different turn. You know, he was judged very much for the inclusion in the game, and he had to go through a lot. And so, you know, there needs to be some kind of recognition and compensation, and that's really what the client would want.
You know, there's so many interesting issues, and Rachel has let us know from her perspective why she filed a claim, and it's really important. I think the issues need to be litigated, and we wish you all the luck on this, and you know, especially, of course, the most important thing is your son, to make sure that he comes out of this, you know, smiling and happy and keeps dancing for his whole life.
Yes. He's so cute.
Thanks. That's absolutely our goal. Yeah.
Okay. Rachel, thanks for being with us. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Clear thinking, free discussion, AM 790 KABC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Hey, Chris Carter here, and I'm excited to announce our new location for Breakfast with the Beatles at Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Check it out. We are moving 27 floors up to the beautiful Cielo Restaurant. Floor-to-ceiling windows bring an amazing view of the desert while you enjoy a bubbly Beatle brunch for only $49. Tickets are on sale right now, so book today for Sunday, January 27th. Go to morongocasinoresort.com. We'll see you there.
You need to watch the playoffs with your friends at Buffalo Wild Wings. First, they have $5 pitchers on the weekend during the playoffs. Second, if your friends watch at your house, it means multiple guys sitting on a couch together, which is always super awkward. So are you going to touch elbows and knees with your buddies, or are you going to get your own stool and split $5 pitchers of beer? Come for the playoffs, stay for the $5 select pitchers and personal space at Buffalo Wild Wings. Price and participation vary by location, not valid with any other offer.
This show furnished by Rowan Gervie and Wynn.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervie and Kerry Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
You spent the week. Yeah, we are back. And we only have a few minutes left, but we really want to get this story on because it's really important. We've been talking to David Hecht, and we talked to 2Milly, and we talked to Rachel McCumbers on the infringement of copyright, the stealing of dances by Epic Games, and the lawsuits that are going on. And then there's Lenwood Hamilton. Lenwood Skip Hamilton, who's an ex-football player, an ex-wrestler, has quite a story. His website is really incredible, so you should go check that out. We don't have enough time to go through everything here, but his claim is that the game Gears of War stole his character and they turned it into the popular Augustus Coltrane Cole character, making billions of dollars. And Len Wood actually has proof that that character was based on his character. Len Wood, welcome to Gervie's Law.
I'm glad to be here. What they did, they took him from Hard Rock Hamilton, Defender of the Youth of America, Soul City Wrestling. That's right. They took it and they turned me into something that I am not. They turned me into a killer. They turned me into someone that don't respect women. They turned me into someone that don't have any respect for their mother and their father. And that's what I tell the little guys in Soul City Wrestling, to stay in school and don't be no fool.
Now, how did you find out that this character is based on you if they've done all these horrible things? How did you figure this out?
I came in the house. My son told me a couple of years ago. And I've seen it. It's identical to me. They took my gold tooth. They took my voice.
Oh.
They took me. It was identical. I come out in Chippendale cuffs. I come out in a derby jumpsuit. And this is what I look. I look, it was a Chippendale look. And we got the look from the Ice Fathers a long time ago. Because the queen of Soul City is a Caucasian woman. Her name was Andrea Haven. And she said, I think it would be a good look for Hard Rock Hamilton to have a sexy look. And that's what she put on. And because I didn't want to do that game, they got pissed off and they said, I'll do it without you. I'm not that kind of character that they got me portraying as being a criminal or a rapist. And what we do is we help kids. I didn't play pro football long enough with the Philadelphia Eagles and in Canada. So I started a company called Soul City Wrestling. And what we do is we go into the hood and we take the kids and we try to interest them in wrestling. If I can get them in there to wrestle, I can get them in there to sit down and do some mathematics. And
you know, Len Wood, they had access to this character, Lester Spite. Is that how you pronounce it? The guy who worked for a company that Spate. You created? Spate.
He worked for me. Lester worked for me. He also discussed the game with me. And he worked for me. Yeah, I told him that I wasn't interested. He left it at that. Yes, Lester Spate worked a couple shows for me in Philadelphia.
Do you think he took it and ran with it and basically profited by it?
Of course he did. All you got to do is look at my picture, look at his picture, look at his gold tooth ain't real. Mine is real. And man, there's no faking to the voice. Bring it on, sucker. That's my... Well, I got to watch my voice because I know...
That's okay. I like that voice.
The smoking gun here is the voice actor used to work with Linwood, right? So he took Linwood's personality from the wrestling persona and he used it in the game and didn't tell anybody, you know, until Linwood's son actually, you know, was playing the game and he figured all this out. But this the credited person was this person, Spate, who worked with Lester. And so it's quite unbelievable. But what makes it worse is, as he said, they're mocking him in the game. And it's an example of blaxploitation. It's this character, every other character. I'll let you explain it.
They come into the black community and they exploit it. They didn't give me a dime for this. And you see, and it would be nice if they took some of that money, all those billions of dollars that they made, and put it back in the hood. There's community centers that are all broken down now. Kids have nowhere to go. I grew up in 11 different boys' homes. I didn't have a mother or father. You understand? And so the people that worked with me when I was a kid, they said, Linwood, Skip, or Hard Rock, when you get old enough to give back to the kids, reach back and bring some of those kids with you.
But you wouldn't have done that. You would never have let them do this to your character, no matter how much money you could have given back to your community, right? I mean, that you wouldn't have let them do that to your character.
Ma'am, did you hear what I just said? I said, ma'am. I didn't slander you at all.
No.
I am a person of respect. And I would never let nobody take my personality and my character and mock me like that.
That's right.
They got Augustus Cole in this Gears of War. They got him being a clown. Now, he's in the middle of battle. His comrades are getting killed all around him, and he's making a joke. When I played with the Eagles in 1983, they got him wearing my number because he played thrash.
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
What about in the CFL? Who did he play for in the CFL?
I played for the Edmonton Eskimo.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Yeah, he's Canadian. Alan's Canadian.
The green and gold.
This sounds like a slam dunk case, David.
Yeah.
I mean, this really does. Out of everything that we've talked with here today and who we've talked to, this sounds like a slam dunk.
Oh, listen, I think they're all slam dunks. The one-to-one dances where you have side-by-side, this is what I said before. They've brazenly taken what does not belong to them.
But this is defamation.
And what's crazy here is
this is defamation.
The,
And in this case, too, we have experts. You know, we just got through expert discovery. We're on the cusp of trial. But the experts, we have a voice expert that shows with almost near certainty that this was a near duplicate. This was an imitation of his voice by another voice actor. I mean, it's indisputable. And then this is going to a Philadelphia jury, and you compare the character to Ledgewood, and you look at them side by side, and it's like a no-brainer.
When is this going to trial?
The trial date is not set, so we will know probably soon, but we just finished expert depositions, and so we'll probably know within the next month or two.
Well, I think that Epic Games has a lot to think about with all of these lawsuits, especially when you talk about Lenwood Hamilton. I think, you know, he may body slam them on this one, that's for sure.
No, he's...
I tell you what, I won't body slam them if they decide to give back to the community. If you want to put your money where your mouth is, the heck with Hard Rock, the heck with everybody else. Give back to those kids that are forgotten about, that are living under the streets, under the city streets and the sewers and stuff that the community has forgotten about. Give back to these kids. That's what's important to me. Now, if you give back to the kids, I'll be happy.
What a great message to end off with. Lenwood Hamilton, good luck with this, and we really admire and...
Can I say this?
Sure.
Hard Rock Hamilton, defender of the youth of America. Whether it be an Asian boy, a black boy, a white boy, a green boy, it doesn't matter. If I can help a kid, that's what we're about. And that's why I'm so happy and blessed to have Mr. David, Mr. Pierce, and this firm that came along and helped me out with this. Because everybody else was playing.
You know, that message is so apropos on Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. The message of Dr. King is the message of Lenwood Hamilton. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, people. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And David, we've really appreciated spending an hour with you.
My pleasure.
Good luck with all of this. It looks like you're going to be a busy guy in the next coming months. That's for sure.
But it's my pleasure to represent all these great people and really get them what they deserve.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, good luck with that. That's going to do it for our show today. Remember, Sunday at 5 o'clock, Gervie's Law from now on, right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.